bull or baloney?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. All eyes are on the stock market today after a strong week of trading. The Dow finished up 174 points yesterday. It closed at 7,924. That's up more than 20% since the market's low earlier this month. Tamara Keith takes a look at what that means or doesn't mean.
There's a common belief that a 20% rise in the Dow or the S&P is the sign of a new bull market. And the Dow has risen 21% since March 9th. But Charles Geist, a professor of finance at Manhattan College, says this is more likely what they call a bear market rally. He says there are way too many negative economic indicators out there for this to be a real bull market.
Right now, the market's rally is an indicator of popular psychology amongst some investors and traders that things are over with, but it's not much more than that.
So what's going on? Geist says this is a trader's market.
Most retail investors, those who sit home and do their own investing, are staying away from this sort of rally. So this is mostly professionals just jumping in and out for a few bucks here and there.
He says that during the Great Depression, there were bear market rallies. They got people's hopes up, only to be followed by further declines. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Here's part of what Wall Street's digesting this morning. The Commerce Department just reported consumer spending was up in February for the second straight month. At the same time, the reading on personal incomes was lower thanks to the layoffs that keep happening. Builder KB Home just announced a loss for its first quarter, but it was narrower than what analysts predicted. A mixed performance for Asian markets today. European shares remain lower this hour. Along with the Dow's gain yesterday, the Nasdaq was up 3.75%. The S&P gained nearly 2%. At this hour, futures this morning are pointing a little lower. Tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of the nuclear accident at Three Mile Island. After three decades, there's renewed support for the industry. Danielle Carson reports.
Nuclear power was a political pariah for years, but there's been a huge shift in how the industry is perceived these days, according to Tom Kaufman with the Nuclear Energy Institute.
And I think a lot of that is due to the fact the industry learned its lessons. It has put all of its focus on safety, and I believe Americans see that.
In fact, a recent Gallup poll finds nearly 60% of Americans support nuclear power. It now produces about 20% of the country's energy. 17 companies have applied for permits to build new plants, but the cost is prohibitive, and there's also the problem of disposing radioactive waste. Pietro Nivola is an energy specialist at the Brookings Institution.
That is certainly a major obstacle, and it's going to have to be resolved in order to produce the level of uncertainty for the industry.
Developing more nuclear power could be a challenge without a long-term plan to store nuclear waste, especially now that President Obama has scaled back funding a nuclear waste dump in Nevada. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
You may be hearing this the next time you go to the movies.
Having trouble keeping up with your mortgage payments? Are you facing foreclosure? Before you do anything, you need to get information on how to avoid foreclosure scams. Don't be taken advantage of. It shouldn't hurt to get help. Go to federalreserve.gov and click on 5 Tips for Avoiding Foreclosure Scams.
The Federal Reserve will run ads in theaters next month warning about scams where people are charging for advice that nonprofits working with the government actually give for free. The Wall Street Journal says the ads will play in markets with high foreclosure rates.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The chill of the financial crisis has really taken its toll on Iceland. The country's biggest banks collapsed last fall, and it's looking for opportunities now outside of the world of high finance. So alongside world-class fishing, Iceland wants to take up farming. That is, data farming. Stephen Beard has that story from Reykjavik.
After the calamitous excursion into global banking, Iceland has a new message for the world. Send us your computer servers and we'll keep them cool. Behind this electronic door lie several acres of empty space. It's a vacant warehouse in a former US Navy base. Now Willy Torsteinsson wants to fill it with computers.
Well, this is it. This is our data center. This is the warehouse we are converting for our servers.
Torsteinsson runs Vern Global, Iceland's first server farm. He's hoping to persuade some of the biggest companies that operate on the internet to base their servers here. Iceland's low temperatures are an attraction.
Because we don't have to spend a lot of electricity cooling the computers down once we have actually run them.
All you have to do then is just open the doors and let the wind blow through.
Yeah, basically that's pretty much it.
Iceland has another advantage, a reliable supply of low-cost electricity to run the servers. That power is generated by glacial runoff and by hot water and steam piped up from beneath the Earth's crust. It's plentiful power, says Gudni Johansson of the National Energy Authority.
We are producing electricity five times more than we need for our own normal domestic use. So we have a lot more to give of renewable energy.
Iceland's electricity is carbon-free. That's another reason why companies should place their servers here, says Tor Björgolfsson, owner of Vern Global. He says power-hungry data centres using carbon-fired electricity are very polluting.
By the year 2020, data centres will be a bigger carbon emitter than the airline industry. And certainly people can see more regulation coming online in terms of carbon emissions.
Björgolfsson is controversial. He owned a chunk of one of the banks that went bust last fall. No way will his server farm repair that financial damage. But, say his supporters, it's the kind of clean, green business that might help restore Iceland's tarnished image abroad. In Reykjavik, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Get a grip on the fallout of the economic crisis or write us a note by going to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice Friday and a great weekend. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.